Today in our feature, Carol's taking us half an hour north of Whangarei to meet a rural woman who can't sit still.
Marilyn Horsford has not long finished a night shift at Whangarei Hospital. Her uniform is off and her gumboots on. She's now working, as she often does, helping her daughter Tennille and husband Russell run the farm they are managing for a friend at Tawai. There are hungry cows to shift onto fresh grass.
Come on, girls. It's been a very rough season for them. Well, they sort of had the whole drought and not a lot of feed to start with coming into the summer. So it's been bales the whole way, and we're coming to the end of the bales, and it's the start of winter. Off you go. Come up this way. Don't catch it. So this farm's on the market, and then we sort of, the idea would be find a nice farm that somebody would like a retired farmer to look after. And that would be us.
So how many years have you been farming?
Well, we've been married for 36 years this year. And probably the majority of that has been some type of farming on and off. We spent 5 years down in Hamilton with the kids at Church College, and then it just got too much for us, so he had to come home.
You didn't like the city life?
No, he was not a city boy at all. I was nursing, and we had a car valet, car grooming business down there. And I was nursing also at the school, so I had three jobs happening at the same time down there. Plus, I'd had my youngest baby at the same time, so I was full on.
That was your sixth child?
Yes, yeah. So we sort of went down with five, came back with six.
Northland's obviously home?
Yes, yeah. So I'm from just down the road at a place called Whakapara.
And you're Ngāpuhi?
Ngāpuhi, yep. I'm Ngāti Hō from down here, Ngāti Hau from up there, my tribes, from my Māori tribes. But yes, definitely Ngāpuhi.
Marilyn lives not far from here in the Maromaku Valley. It's fair to say she's not often home.
As my kids keep reminding me, you don't know, Mum, you're not here. I'm like, I'm around, I'm just not always in the building. Cool, keep going.
When Marilyn's not at work or helping out on the farm or pitching in elsewhere in the community, if time allows, she'll be teaching music. Or accompanying children and teenagers for their performances. Too much to bear.
So this is our fire station, Tawai Fire Station. We're under reconstruction.
Yep. Oh wow, it's brand new. It's not even finished.
No. Oh wow, this is new. So we're going to have running water and toilets and a kitchen. Before we had an engine and a shed and our gear, that was it. And a water pump that pumped out to the tank outside that we could fill the truck with, or else we pumped out of the creek next door here. That was it. So I was like, oh my goodness.
You're a volunteer firefighter.
Yep. Yeah, that happened when we first moved back from Hamilton. I came across an accident down the road, and it was quite a severe one. There was a fatality in it, and I thought to myself, yeah, I wanted to get back into doing something for the community. I guess it's firefighting. So when the guys arrived, I knew them from living here before. I says, when's practice? When's training night? So that's been us. And from that, of my six kids, five of them have joined.
Wow.
over the years.
How does it work? You're rostered on X days, number of days a week?
Or no, we're just on call.
You're all the time?
Yep, so the siren goes up.
And can you hear it from here?
Yep, you can hear it from here. You can hear it from quite a few places. But, the call goes up, and whoever can make it shows up and get on our gear and Do it.
Do you enjoy it?
Love it.
What is it about it that you like?
I don't know. I think it's the unknown, because you never know what you're going to get. So an MVA, is that one? Is that two? Is that a big one? Is it just a car in the drain? You know, what are we going to do? Is it caught the scrub on fire or what?
Have there been memorable call-outs for you?
Yeah, it is the grisly ones that you do tend to remember. I think all of my kids, they've all had fatalities in their accidents and things. So it's not nice, but it hardens you for life. You know, it's... You just sort of do what has to be done and support who has to be supported and do your best, really.
You haven't been able to twist your husband's arm to...
Well, someone's got to stay home and do the work. That's the bottom line. If that siren goes off and we're gone, he's got to milk those cows. He's got to shift those cows. He's got to do what else has to be done when we're not there. Yeah, he's the stalwart of the family. It's not me.
So we're coming down the road and I was thinking, I wonder where the closest LDS church is, and then here it is in the middle of a paddock.
Absolutely. And it amazes many people when they're driving through and it's sort of like, drive, drive, green grass, big white brick building. What is this place? This is the Church of Jesus, the Maramaku Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What's your role here?
Because
I'm sure you have one.
I do. I play the music. There's another lady that plays as well. I am in the ladies group, which they call the Relief Society, so we help the community. We do cooking, we do helping, we do looking after, we do teaching. Like we had an activity last week which was a post-COVID activity of how did you cope, what did you do, what would you differently. Just time for women to get together and to express their thoughts, their feelings. We try and do that once a month.
So what do you do in your spare time?
If I am at home, I like to be out in the garden or outside.
So you don't just sit and put your feet up?
No, I don't.
What made you like that? Were your parents like that?
I was actually brought up by my grandparents. My grandmother was, she was 67 when she got me, so when I was a baby. The thing is, the community where I lived, everybody lived with their grandparents. There was one cousin that lived there and he lived with his grandparents, and then on the corner there were two cousins that lived with their grandmother. Next house up was one that lived with that one. The next one up there was like, I don't know, maybe five or six that lived with their grandparents and parents on and off.
So that was normal for you?
It was. I didn't realise that. It wasn't until I went nursing and the nursing tutor said to me, said in class, so what is a dysfunctional family? And I was thinking, well, that's, you know, people that fight and, you know, do bad things. And the definition was a family that isn't a mother and a father and children. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm 17, I'm from a dysfunctional family. I wasn't dysfunctional. I mean, I was loved, I was cared for, I was brought up well, I had piano lessons. I never missed out on anything, I didn't think. My family came to visit me, my mum and stepfather and siblings. And remembering, I've been a nurse for nearly 40 years. So hopefully things have changed a little. With my piano playing, with my music, I may be Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by birth, but during the week I am Anglican, Catholic, Ecumenical, Pentecostal, whatever they need for pianist or an organist, that's me. Like I got a phone call this week to see if I would play in Kawakawa tomorrow for a minister who was short on an organist for a memorial service for someone that died during COVID. So, and then down at Whakapara, they've got a pedal organ in there, and not many people can play pedal organs.
Okay, so follow you down the road.
Yeah, so we're going to that house just over there.
Okay, and
just pulling behind me, it's Auntie Aura. So she's rang me this morning, and she's got a family history problem that I just need to go and sort out on her computer.
No. This is my friend Carol.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Nice, yeah, to meet you. Hello.
That's the Coomera
Home. Oh, thank you.
So, and did you...
Amazing. She keeps us alive, this girl.
What's this here?
Coomera Home. It's a rongoi, a Māori medicine. It's plants, you know, a shrub that we pick out in the bush or on the side of the road. Yeah, and she makes it up for us. Clever, eh? What this lady can't do, honestly. This is my office, this end of the house.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Where I do my genealogy, whakapapa. And this lady, when I'm stuck, just ring up to her and she's here like a light. This is too much for my brain. I'm trying to learn how to copy, paste, let alone split, whatever they call it, split the screen. Just like that, see?
So, you won't even need to call me now.
Awesome.
Yes, she's a wonder woman.
Enjoy, Auntie.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. See ya. I've tried and tried to find some kids to sing for you, but it's the school holidays. They've all gone on holiday and there's none around. I thought I'd try and get some of the cousins to come from up the hill, but they've gone to the movies, and my grandkids are unavailable. They've gone away. And so there's just me and my ukulele. I'm not very good. I mean, I'm okay. I'm okay, but I'm not fluent. So at high school, I was in the time of the resurgence of Te Reo Māori when it first came back into being in schools after all those years of people being given the cane and the strap and all those sort of things. And so my grandfather sent me to Bay of Islands College to learn Te Reo. And I had a Scottish, English Māori teacher. And his name was Mr. McCormick, and love him dearly. He was just so awesome. He was this little fair man with this little blonde goatee, and yeah, but he could speak it.
Did your grandparents have Te Reo?
My grandfather did. Probably they both did, but they never ever spoke it. I never ever heard them. That it had been beaten out of them so much, I imagine, that they never ever spoke about it. But my grandfather said that I needed to go back and learn who I was, that I wasn't an Indian, because at school I had long brown braids, and so that they'd think I was an Indian, American Indian, or else they'd put a dot in the middle of my head to be a, you know, an Indian from India. And so that he's like, you need to go and learn what you are.
So when you do teach Te Reo, where do you do that?
Hukrinui School, just down the road here. We have lots of fun. It's awesome. I love it, because it's not just reading and writing. It's like I teach everything through music. So we sing, we learn the alphabet through music, we learn words through music, we learn greetings through music, we just do waiata, 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 and we do actions, and we have lots of fun. At the end of a day, I'm shattered because I've taught 165 kids on an average, and I've jumped around, and we've played games, and we've done quizzes. To me, if it's fun, then people want to learn, and if it's boring, well, why would they?
Your own children, do they speak Te Reo?
No, they don't. And they're like, oh, Mum. I'm like, you know, this is really a bad look. I'm trying to teach other people's kids and you don't want to learn. Tēnā koe, hello to one. Tēnā kōrua, hello to two. Tēnā koutou, hello to all. What we're going to do now is we're heading back to Whangarei, and we're just going to pop up to where I was brought up, Whakapara, and have a quick squizzy at our family urupā and across to the marae at Whakapara there. So this is where I was brought up. This is Whakapara, about half a kilometre off State Highway 1. This is St Isaac's Church, which my great-great-grandparents established when their first son, one of their sons, died when he was 15.
So 1898?
Back in 1898 was when their son Isaac died, Ihaka.
That was the first body that went in here, and there's, as you see, there's lots and lots of others now.
So this is an Anglican church?
This is an Anglican church, but in saying that, if I wanted to have a Mormon service in here, I probably could. You know, as long as someone uses a church, that's the main thing. As you see, the grounds are in pretty good condition. Of the original family that established here, there are 9 children that had children. And so every 9 months, it's our family's turn to do the lawns and the weed eating and the weeding and the water blasting and stuff like that.
So you're called into action at the Anglican Church as well as your chapel down the road?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I say, jack of all trades. If anyone asks me to do something, I will give my best shot. I love to help the living, but I love to help the dead as well.
When you say you like to help the dead, what do you do?
I come and mow the lawns, and I bury them, help to bury them. I play the music for them. I've been known to help to do a service every now and then.
Is this church affiliated with the local marae?
Yes, the marae is just there, and so yes, they run hand in hand. So yeah, so this is the Whakapara Urupa.
Oh, this is a modern marae.
Yeah, I thought I'd bring you here to have a bit of a squiz. It is a beautiful marae, really, really nice. And one of our cousins was actually the architect for it, so that makes it even more special.
What was standing here when you were a kid?
Nothing. This was gorse. This was all gorse. Back in the early 60s, there used to be a marae, I'm told, a whare, over there in that area there. But it was taken down because people weren't using marae back in those days. And so there was many, 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 many meetings on what are we going to do, how are we going to do it, and it's taken a long time to get it this far. A lot of fundraising, and they finally did it. A lot of hard work. And then once you get the marae, it's the upkeep of it. But people are so proud to bring people back here because it is a beautiful place. And, you know, our urupa is just across the road.
It's stunning. You can just stand here.
Mm-hmm. It's an awesome photo.
Yeah, when you're at the urupa, you can't really see the marae. No. But from this vantage point, it's just beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so when we have tangi and things like that, you can imagine the kaikaranga standing there calling and the people going through the tomokanga and taking their whānau in and then coming back out and then walking the little way across the road through the little gate. It's just really amazing. It's really, really lovely.
Such a quaint, old-fashioned wee church.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How many does that church seat?
Not a lot. I don't know, maybe you'd be close to 60, perhaps, if you're lucky. That would be at a squish. But you can feel the love. I can remember when my grandmother died, there was no power there then, and they had her body lying in state there, and I was 15, and we slept there the night, and I was just like... And then my auntie said to me, I don't know why you're worried, these people are all family. I'm like, oh, true. And that was it.
And what's your involvement with the marae?
Whatever they want. Sometimes it could go a month and I haven't been back, but come along and help with, you know, join in with the Kuia Komatua. I just brought somebody through here this week that had never been back to see their marae before. So I sort of took them through the urupa and gave them their history and then brought them over here to show them their wharenui and their wharekai, tell them the stories that I know about the area. So that was a good 2 hours trip. Then, I when there's a tangi on, the phone goes, cuz, can you come down? Okay, what am I doing? Like, am I in the kitchen? Am I kaikaranga? Am I, you know, what do you want? Or, you know, can you help with the music? Can you do whatever? In the past, we had 3 of our family members die fairly close to each other in succession. And so I was working. I was in the wharekai and was setting up the kitchen and stuff. And my boys had to come and take over from me so I could go to work. And then during the night, one of my boys rocked up with some dinner for me at like 1 o'clock in the morning after he'd finished doing the dishes and stuff out here. He called in to Whangarei, which is 35 minutes away, to bring me some kai. So, yeah, that's just how it works. You know, my kids, they support the marae, they support their whānau, they support their mother and their father. So, yeah, we're pretty lucky.
Nurse, farmer, volunteer firefighter, music and te reo teacher, mum, grandmother, church volunteer, producer of Māori medicine and Marae go-to person, Marilyn Horsford. Phew!